Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Washington, D.C. is Grace Wu-DePlaza. Grace is the Director for Compliance and Corporate Integrity at PharmaMac. Grace, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
I'm excited to be here.
So we're going to talk today about considering and rolling out new compliance initiatives. And let's start by asking, you know, when considering a new compliance initiative, it's really easy to think of the good it would do. The harder part is figuring out what it takes to actually get there. What should a compliance officer be thinking about from the start?
Adam, there's three things that come to mind. First, how you're going to communicate the importance of the initiative to your leadership team so you get the go to begin that initiative. How you're going to socialize it with key stakeholders so they can be your champion. For example, if I can tie my initiative to my company's strategic or business plan, then I'm going to do it. And then finally, how to continually market it post-launch. These steps sound really easy, but in reality, they're a little bit harder and it takes time. So I'm going to take each one of these. With respect to getting the go from the leadership team, one of the things that you can do is ask for an executive sponsor. It will work better if that sponsor is also aligned and believes in that initiative in order to fully support it. So they're there essentially to message the importance of it to the business, whether you're launching a new vendor management program enterprise-wide, relaunching or revising your code of conduct, or implementing a new privacy program. Also critical to the success is the ability to partner with the key stakeholders. They can also be your advocate. That was my second point. In reality, not everybody, as you may know, will be fully on board with a compliance initiative. The question then becomes, how can you get help to get it there, and what other maybe communication methods you can use to further sell the concept? One of the examples that come to mind is compliance training, co-training. We all do it. There are some leaders who think that training, whether it's compliance or otherwise, it takes time away from the business. So for example, prior to my arrival at PharmaMac, our code training was in person. It was a PowerPoint presentation. And I decided, hey, look, I'm going to change it to a web-based training module, in part so that employees can take it on their own time. We gave them 3 weeks to complete it. It was a more flexible approach. And I communicated as having the employees being able to take it at their own time to get the buy-in I needed. I also took the opportunity to make it fun. So I know what you're thinking, how can you make compliance code training fun? I literally paired it with a trophy, which I called the Code Cup, the Code of Conduct Cup. If you think about leaders, they're all about winning, and they tend to be competitive in nature. So what I did was divide our company into different teams, and the team leads were members of our leadership team. They had to come up with a name that incorporated a word from our values. And the team leads' responsibilities, there were two. They had to make sure and really encourage all the members of their team to complete the code training on time and also be there to respond to any questions that they had, the members had about the training and the quiz at the end. And for those who did complete on time, then they qualified for the code cup, the trophy. And the team that won had the highest average score on that quiz. And then the code cup went on rotation. So basically, all members of the winning team could proudly display their code cup on their desk for a couple of weeks throughout the year. And our code cup traveled to our offices in Idaho and Iowa before returning back here to DC. Which brings me to my third and final point on how to be thinking about from the start. And the third point was to really continuing to market it post-launch, post-initiative launch. And the code example highlights this. By having the code travel throughout the company, it's a continual reminder of our code, of our values. And as it sits on their desk or as their colleagues walk by their desk, hopefully they'll remember that and really want it next year when I launch the code training again. So those are the three things that come to mind when I think about how what we need to think through from the start.
That's interesting. And I love the fact that you sort of took the Stanley Cup tradition of letting the winning team folks take it home with them for a day and made it something within the office that allowed people to, you know, personally feel like they've won and then also, you know, show off to others. Now, you're a strong advocate for having, once a program is approved, you know, an ongoing project management plan. You know, as you just said, you know, just because it's launched doesn't mean you're done. What should the plan include?
There are not three, but four things that actually come to mind. And I just presented on this topic with my colleague, Hila Coleman. She's a certified project manager here at Farmer Mac. And the four things that comes to mind are milestones, having tasks, giving dates, and making sure that folks know their roles and responsibilities. Again, I'm going to take each one of these in turn. So if you think about milestones, all the key milestones for any particular initiative, it needs to be completed and mapped out ahead of time. It's important because if you see that finish line, your goalpost, then you're better able to anticipate any curves or rocky terrains. And as my colleague Hila mentioned in our recent presentation, each milestone should have two or three measurable results. There should be metrics. If you think of what these metrics should look like, think about your resume and what you want to sell and the percentage of completions and adoptions you would assign a certain skill set. Use that philosophy to translate into metrics for your milestones. For example, if you're launching a new process, you want to be able to train your employees. So your metrics would be 80% of employees trained within the first 3 months, or when launching a new, piloting a new program, you receive positive feedback on that survey response, and you can say 90% of positive responses from test users. The second element are tasks. So each of these milestones, you have to have associated tasks, and you draft these once all the key milestones have already been defined. And writing these tasks down will help you visualize and think through what are the activities that need to take place in order to get you where you need to be. The third element are dates. Dates give you accountability. It's really easy, Adam, in our day-to-day life, in our busy work life, to push back deadlines, or if there's a vacation or you're working around somebody else's schedule, that all of a sudden you're a day or even sometimes weeks behind. When you have these dates and you track them, it gives you the ability to better manage your workload. And you got to think through ahead of time if there are busy periods during the year in which some of your key stakeholders, if they're your testers, they may not be available. So it's best to have these planned out ahead of time. And then the last one I want to talk about is roles and responsibilities. I mean, this is extremely important that for each of these tasks, you know who's responsible for what activities. And the structure that we've used here is the RACI method, and it's RACI, the matrix, and this is how I interpret the acronym RACI. For us, the R stands for responsible, who is the person who's actually doing the work. The A is for accountable, who is the person approving or signing off on the work. And it's usually the responsible person's supervisor. With respect to accountable person, you should only have one person assigned. If there's more than one, then the message may get less, or there may not be real ownership of that particular task or initiative. The C stands for consulted. Those are individuals who are your key stakeholders. And the I stands for informed, people within your organization that should know about the project and be updated at a very high level. That essentially is your leadership team. So let's take one of these initiatives that we've launched at Farmer Mac and go through this particular matrix. So at Farmer Mac, when I onboarded, we wanted to launch a new GRC platform, governance, risk, and compliance platform, to automate our manual policies, procedure review, and approval process. So if you think about the four that I just listed out, milestone, tasks, dates, and roles. One of the four milestones is the fact that we had to select a GRC software. The second milestone was that we had to configure it before moving on to the next milestone, which we defined as piloting it to key stakeholders. the final step was to give it and get all employees on board and actually using the platform. So the first milestone of selecting a GRC software, the tasks associated with that would include drafting the requirements, introducing the framework to leadership, meeting with potential vendors, and then boiling it down and getting requests for proposals from three and then selecting one. At this stage, we also decided to select or identify a project manager as well as who the key stakeholders are. And for the key stakeholders, you want them early because you want their help throughout the process. And again, to make sure they're available if they are the folks that you're going to be testing the initiative with. And like I said, the dates are important.
Yeah, well, dates.
And there you have it.
You know, usually, and dates usually are because, it's like you said, it, one, people expect you to meet those deadlines, and two, they help keep you focused. So what other departments should you bring in when putting the plan together? Obviously, compliance typically doesn't do a whole initiative on its own.
In addition to leadership and the key stakeholders, another department that you want to bring in is your internal communications team. So this is talking about how you're going to communicate and sell it. If there's a town hall that's coming up, you want to be able to raise awareness through that initiative or that forum. If there's any other enterprise-wide communications that can help you deliver your message, whether it's a company or departmental newsletter, you should try to use those mediums as well.
So last question. It's very rare for even the best plans in the world to work out 100%. Something almost always goes wrong along the way. How can you effectively plan for contingencies and things that, you know, frankly, you didn't plan on happening?
We talked about timelines and dates a lot, but you got to build in realistic timelines and dates and always expect delays. So think through when those dates should be. The communication plan I mentioned is key, really to map it out from inception to implementation and even post-launch. And the messaging has to be consistent and constant in order to get the buy-in because it, in some cases, is a new initiative. And finally, just remember that life itself isn't linear. When there are bumps in the road, it's a time for growth.
Great. Well, Grace, thank you so much for those insights. I think that'll help others as they go to roll out their programs, either new ones or take existing ones to a higher level. I want to thank you for sharing that and also sharing that information at the 2019 Compliance and Ethics Institute. Finally, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.